Tango Tango Papa 1680, September 1st, 2012.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles coming to you from home. I've been home, upwards of a week now. I got home, maybe on Saturday, a week ago. So I have been home a week, however, the load that I brought delivered Monday morning in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So Saturday, Sunday, and Monday did not count against my time off. So I had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So today's my is Saturday. So today's my last full day off. And then I'm supposed to go back to work tomorrow. Tomorrow being Sunday. So had several days off in a row and have been kind of lazy. I haven't really done a whole lot of anything. Of course, there for the last 2.5 weeks, approximately, I was hauling that Walmart stuff, you know, to all those Walmart stores, primarily in New Jersey, and in the middle of the night and what have you, 3-4 drop loads in the middle of the night, store to store to store, and then back to the distribution center. And that was extremely draining. That really, I don't know, that really seemed to kind of rob me of my motivation to do much of anything. And so if they ask me if I want to do that again, I'm going to tell them, sorry, Charlie, you know, find someone else to do it. That's just too much. You know, if someone enjoyed doing that, it would be a different story. I don't enjoy that kind of thing. Making constant deliveries like that, especially in the middle of the night and then sleeping in the daytime, just to do that, forget about it. That's that's not my idea of enjoying myself, you know, working. So, I don't know. As I say, I've been kind of really lazy, and I've just been kind of laying around a lot and not really being motivated to do much of anything. Of course, my parents are still here, and been spending quite a bit of time with them. You know, while they're here, spend a lot of time with them, and kind of been doing that, but otherwise not much of anything else. I'm sitting outside here on my front deck. It's I don't know, it's probably about, I'm guessing roughly about 7 o'clock in the evening, and it's still daylight. I think the sun is just now kind of going down, or it's getting ready to go down. And I don't know, the temperature's probably, I would say, mid to upper 80s, and so it's fairly decent. We, of course, the hurricane kind of came and went through this area, the remnants of that hurricane, and it really wasn't much. It really didn't amount to a whole lot. Of course, the sky clouded up, and we had, I don't know, a number of hours worth of relatively light drizzle and high humidity, and then that kind of finally went away. And so I don't know, I never did really hear anybody say, but we may have, possibly we got an inch of rain, it may not even have been that much. Might have been, you know, it could have been a half an inch. It really didn't amount to a whole lot. You know, at this point we'll take all we can get because of the, you know, it's been very dry during the summer. And so now I think the, you know, it has been raining somewhat, you know, on and off ever so many days, So it's about the time of year where the rainy season, is going to start again. Typically, and here it'll rain in the fall and the summer, and then it can get quite dry it rains in the fall and the spring, and it can get quite dry during the summer months. So it's just, and there have been years where it has kind of rained during the summer as well, but it can get dry here. And but I think we're kind of moving into more of the rainy season at this point. So, the weather should start cooling off. It has cooled off. We haven't had any 100-degree days here for a while. And so it's typically after Labor Day, which is Monday's, I guess, I don't know when Labor Day is, but Monday is the holiday. Typically after Labor Day, things do cool off. They start to cool down. So depending on which part of the country you're in, too. But things should start cooling down within, within the next couple of weeks. Temperatures will start cooling down, and it'll get cooler at night, and the highs during the daytime won't be quite as high. So, and then, as we kind of begin to move into the fall months, into the fall season. So while I was home, I did watch most of the convention speeches, the Republican convention in Tampa. I did watch most of those. And some of the speeches I was more impressed with than others. Of course, I hadn't been able to I was going to watch the Paul Ryan speech, but I wasn't able to because my recorder didn't record it. I had it set to begin with. I had the recorder, I use that one of the Mac Minis as an HD DVR, and I had it set, but then they changed the schedule, and that kind of messed up, that sort of messed things up, so I only got part of the thing, so I missed Paul Ryan's speech, and I've been meaning to kind of watch it online, but I haven't had the chance yet, but a lot of people were very impressed with it. But I was able to watch Mitt Romney's acceptance speech during the last night of the convention, and have to say I was pretty impressed with it. He hit all of the points that I would like to hear, and I don't see how anyone can disagree with what he had to say. Because he basically said that strong families are the answer to the nation's problems, and that's exactly true. That is the answer. That really is the answer. He said strong, loving parents. And in other words, you know, in order to have a better nation, you have to have better parents. And of course, the children of those parents, the children in those families have to realize that their parents aren't perfect, and kind of get rid of the resentment, get rid of the bitterness that they have, and drop it. But the real solution to the country's problems is restoration of the family unit. You destroy the family unit, you destroy society. There are people that think that they can destroy the family unit and sort of re-engineer society so there's no family, no mom and no dad, and then, the state's sort of the incubator. And there are people that really think that way because they hate their families so much. Their families were dysfunctional, and they hate them, and they can't let go of the resentment. And so they want to destroy, people that are like that want to destroy people that do have good families. They want to destroy it because it reminds them of what they've fallen from. But that really is the answer to the country's ills, is for us to really restore the so-called nuclear family. And I think there are enough people in the country that really want to see that happen. I think there are enough people in the country where we could have a bit of a reprieve because otherwise we've gone off the cliff. So, but anybody that, you know, and I hear people say, well, I don't like Mitt Romney and I don't like Obama. I'm not going to vote, or I'm going to write a name in or whatever. What's wrong with Mitt Romney? You know, what do you not like? You know, people, and then the whole idea, do you have to like somebody in order to vote for them? What do you mean you don't like them? Do you have to like somebody? You know, there I have to work with people that I don't like. I may respect them, but I may not particularly like them, and I don't really have to like them. I don't want to, you know, they're not my friend. You know, I'm not voting for, it's not like you're voting on American Idol or whatever. That's how Obama got elected. You know, he was basically he won American Idols, basically what happened in a corrupt society. He was the winner. So this idea that you have to like the person in order to be able to vote for them, that's absurd. So I think that Romney, I believe he's going to win, and I think he has the potential to turn things around. I'm hearing pretty good, decent things from the Republican Party. It sounds like that the Tea Party people have really kind of pushed the Republicans back to their sort of core values, sort of pushed them back, and that's what really has to happen. People with core values have to dominate the society, and that's how it's going to get better. There is no other answer. I'm sorry. I know people want to be able to, you know, continue with their, you know, in their decadent ways and do whatever they want to do and still have prosperity and still be able to, you know, do whatever they want to do. Well, I'm sorry, you can't eat your cake and have it too, because if you eat it, it's gone. So we have to get, you know, people with core values, so on and so forth, whatever you want to call them, have to stand up and be counted. They have to stand up and dominate. And that's where we've fallen down. We've allowed, you know, there's just kind of to be sort of allow, you know, maybe, you know, there's been enough of us that kind of wanted to be liked or didn't want to make waves or whatever, or didn't want to create a problem. Just sort of allowed the other side to kind of take control. And there is no, you can't just make laws and hope that the laws are going to straighten it out. Or, you know, you hear all the cliche things, you know, well, we'll make a law to do this or make a law to do that. And it's, you know, or we'll have term limits or we'll do away with term limits and that's going to solve the problem. No, it isn't. What's going to solve the problem is that all of us, enough of us, have to get back to core values. You know, and know the difference between right and wrong. And the people that say, well, you're judging me, or whose values are you using, or you're judging me, or whatever, the hell with them. I don't care. Abortion's murder. If you think I'm judging you, it's your problem. It's not mine. I'm not judging you. It's what, if when I say abortion is murder, without resentment, without any animosity, I say abortion is murder. If someone thinks I'm judging them, it's not me that's judging them. It's their own conscience that they've been running away from that's bothering them. And, you know, that's just an example. But I'm kind of getting sick and tired of, you know, I've gotten to the point now where I won't argue with people. I just tell them, you know, what the real problem, you know, forget about the politics or this politician or that politician. The real problem is lack of values. And, you know, and then the other thing, they'll try to switch subjects or whatever. The other thing is to, you know, if you know what to listen for, they'll say, well, you know, that they'll start say, well, you know, like with Mitt Romney, for example, well, his great, great grandfather was a polygamist or whatever, which I don't think is true, but, you know, because he's a Mormon. Well, his great-great-grand. Well, so what? Do you hold that against, you know, because chances are your family, someone in your ancestors had slaves. So should you be held guilty because your ancestors have slaves? Huh? Should you be guilty? Should you be held guilty today because your ancestors had slaves sometime in the past? You know, and that's the way to shut that argument up, you know, that, well, he's, you know, discredit him because his great-great-grandfather was a polygamist or whatever. Well, so Obama's father was a polygamist. You know, that doesn't make it right, but do you hold them, do you hold Barack Obama guilty because his father was a polygamist? You know, no, not at all. You know, whatever someone, your ancestor or your family does, it's not your fault that they did it. You're not guilty of them doing that. So this idea that you're going to tinge people that way, you know, there you can counter it pretty easy if you know what you're doing. But so anyway, I'm getting tired of arguing with people. What it really comes down to is that you have people that work and people that don't work. You have people that are producing goods and services, and you have people that sit around on their ass consuming goods and services and don't want to do anything. And it's pretty obvious that, you know, by the way those people talk, you know, if you know what to listen for, you can tell that they're worried about, oh my God, we're going to get cut off. And maybe they need cut off. I'm sorry. It's coming down to the wire now. It's getting very serious. We're to the point now where if we have many more people, too many more people that are sort of on the take and aren't producing anything, they're too dysfunctional, they can't produce anything or won't produce anything, then we're to the point where things could really break down in a serious way. And, you know, I'm fed up with having to work to produce and produce and produce and produce. And then people sit or lay around on their asses and whine and moan and groan that, you know, they want more, you know, and they're not really producing anything. You know, or people that worked for the state, you know, that you work for the state, work for the government. You're not producing a damn thing. I'm sorry, but you really don't produce anything. You know, the people that are working for the state or working for the government are simply, those aren't jobs. That's like overhead. That's not real. They're not producing anything. And government doesn't produce anything. It takes. It's a parasite. It's parasitic. Now, we need some of it. We can't just do away with all of it. We need defense, and we need roads and what have you, and bridges and so on and so forth. But government doesn't need to do all these other things. People can do those better for themselves. You know, I'd rather be in charge of my own life than have the government kind of seeing about me or being dependent on my neighbors to make sure that I get fed or whatever. You know, I'll worry about feeding myself. You know, we've got too many people that are kind of on the take, and their number is kind of coming up. It's coming due, the number's coming up, and you know, the producers need to stand up and put them in their place and learn to dominate the society. That's what people with core values must dominate. And if we don't, we deserve the fate that we'll inevitably end up with. I've got another voice file sent to me by Joel McLaughlin that does the Life in Ohio podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and play that now. I haven't listened to this. Don't know what he's talking about. Might do a stop start on it. But anyway, here's Joel.
Hey, Thomas. It's Joel here again. Thanks for responding to my comment. I kind of agree with you that I do think the people are coming back. Some people. But is it going to be enough? That's my wonder. You know, can it be enough to bring this country back from the brink? Can it be enough to get honest people, decent people, in the in office? You know, that's my wonder. But towards the end of my comment, you basically said not voting is not an option, and I totally agree with you. However, I do not have to vote for Romney if I don't want to. I'm going to probably do some more research myself before I go and make a decision. I'm not going to just choose Romney just because you do or anybody else does. And this is really the way America should be working. We shouldn't be listening to other people telling us what we need to believe. We should then say what we believe in. And just because we believe in something different than the left does, doesn't mean it's bad. Take care, buddy. Keep fighting the fight.
All right, well, thank you, Joel. As I was saying earlier, decent people, people with core values, have to dominate, must dominate the culture. And it's, you know, to the extent that the culture has fallen apart, it's really been the, you know, people that lacked core values, and not all, you know, people change over time. You know, you can say, well, you know, I could say, well, it's, we only have ourselves to blame, but, which is true, but, over time people do change, and, there are plenty of people that, go through a period of time, and find their core values. And quite frankly, that's why we're here, is to find those values. Everybody doesn't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect, in fact. But we're here to experience basically the bad side of our egos, where that goes, the bad side of human nature. We're here to experience that as individuals. And if we're so inclined, we're here to find out where that goes and then go the other way. And it kind of depends on the inclination of, basically the inclination of our souls as to whether the wrong really kind of does appeal to us, if we're really comfortable with wrong, or if we are looking for the, you know, for the right motivation. In other words, we're looking for, the identity that comes from our Creator, if that's the only thing that we'll do, and we'll look and we'll look and we'll look until we find exactly that, there's two types of people for this. There's actually about three types, because the third type takes advantage of character flaws, and you know, they kind of advance themselves and they're power hungry and what have you. But not every politician is that way. But be that as it may, it's up to us. If the people that want the truth, it's up to us, you know, the people that have core values, that have values and that love the truth, so on and so forth, it's up to us to dominate the culture. And that's where, as I say, that's where we've fallen down as a group. Over the years, we failed to dominate. And, you know, you can't do that in a hypocritical way. That's part of the problem. You had people that were really kind of hypocritical, you know, the churchianity type people that, you know, they go to church and sing song and pay the preacher to smile at them and so on and so forth, as I've talked about quite a bit in the past. That doesn't get it, because that produces offspring that they see the hypocrisy, and if that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with it, and they just want to toss it all out, and that's what's behind the motivation for the people that want to, the so-called progressives, the really hardcore progressives that want to destroy the family and have basically, you know, like a Borg society would be the extreme, where you have the idea, the science fiction, the Star Trek idea of the Borg. Well, that is a type of society where you have the state, you know, the kind of the collective running things, and individual, you know, no individual moms and dads and so on and so forth. While I've been home, I've been watching quite a few videos, including, you know, I have the Amazon Prime as well as Netflix. And so I've watched quite a few movies and what have you on both services since I've been home this past week. One of the movies, I probably seen it before a long time ago, but I'd completely forgotten about it, what it was about. Logan's Run, I'm sure you've probably watched that. It was a movie, I think it was, came out probably like 1969, somewhere in 1969, 1970, 71, somewhere in that area. And it's about, it's kind of hokey, and if you can get past the all of the hokey sets and, you know, what they thought the vision of the future was, and it was probably a B-movie to start with, it had an interesting premise that you had these domed cities, and these people were all kind of in the domed city, and the, you know, however, they never really said what the population of their domed city was. But it was all, life was all about pleasure, and all of the machines were manufacturing everything, so nobody really had to work too hard. But it was all about pleasure, and they just pleasured themselves, you know, had all the sex that they wanted, and so on and so forth. But the only catch was that they had to die when they were 30 years old. And that was kind of the premise, and so, you know, basically, it's, you know, they escape from the dome city, and then, of course, in the end, the computer kind of that runs the whole thing kind of blows up, and then all the people are free again, and they're able to go outside, but you know, because their city, you know, kind of quits working. But the premise, you know, the thing in that was that the state raised all the kids, and there was no. There were no parents, were no moms or dads. It was all, and no marriages. It was just all sex and pleasure and, you know, so on and so forth. And that's the motive. There are people that hate their parents, can't get over it. And those, that's the sort of the hardcore motivation. That's the extreme. Because what you have to realize is that there's no such thing as being, it's kind of like being a little bit pregnant, a little bit of resentment. It can never, ever, ever be turned into anything positive. And so a little bit of it, whether you're aware of it or not, you have to let go of it. You have to let go of the animosity, because it always goes to an extreme. There's no such thing as a happy medium. There's no such thing as being able to stand still and just having, you know, sort of a so-called mixed society or whatever. You're always moving in one direction or the other. And so resenting parents, resenting your ancestors, that's what leads to these so-called progressive ideas. They're actually very regressive, but you know, these people are good at sort of manipulating language and manipulating people's intellect and emotions that are separated from their creator. Because if you're separated from your creator, if you're separated from that identity, then all of the, you know, I don't care how smart you are or how well you're able to memorize things or how emotionally sensitive you think, you know, that you are, and you're artistic and so on and so forth, you're an idiot. You're a blithering idiot. And the thing that's missing, if you're separated from that God-given identity, that's, you know, common sense, whatever you want to call it, if you're separated from that, you know, that it leads directly to doom, whether you like it or not. So, but people with values must dominate, and you know, it's and we're to the point now where it's either now or never. Because if Obama is reelected, If you throw your vote away on, you know, you write in Joe Blow or whatever for president, and you are throwing your vote away when you do that, because there's no way that Joe Blow or whoever is going to get elected. Or if you try to, I don't know if Ron Paul's still on the ballot or whatever, if you vote for one of these odd candidates that have no chance of becoming president, you're wasting your vote. You might as well not even vote. And it's now or never. We're a do-or-die situation, and, you know, we'd better do. People with values had better stand up and make themselves counted, because if we don't, we're at the end now. And if Obama is reelected, we're just a short period of time away from concentration camps. We're a short period of time away from some sort of civil war. We're a short period away from America in name only. The country is, our ability to speak freely and so on and so forth is on the ropes right now. There are a lot of people that dare not speak their minds. For fear of, you know, whatever repercussions. They're scared. And, you know, some people have more to lose than others. But we're at the end right now, so we have to, it's do or die time right now. And, if I offend anybody, if I offend you or not, you vote for a third-party candidate or you write some name in or whatever, that's not good enough. That's throwing your vote away. It really is. And, you know, because if you vote for someone that has no chance of getting in, then why are you voting for them? You know, and the idea, well, I'm going to protest. I've never understood that. Well, this vote's a protest. That's silly. You know, you're just, who are you protesting against? You know, and any other thing, why does the candidate, you know, as I was saying before, you know, about the candidate, well, I have to like the candidate or whatever, or I want, you know, I have to like what the candidate stands for. Well, if you listen to Ms. Mitt Romney's speech the other night, there's nothing that you can really fault, unless you're my mom. Of course, my mom's a kind of a flaming liberal, and he said everything that the Tea Party wanted, and she's got this idea that the Tea Party's horrible and what have you. And I can tell you what's at the root of it. Of course, she's on Social Security and Medicare and so on and so forth, and she's afraid that's going to get taken away. And that's the only thing that, you know, that's the only thing that really motivates her at this point, is that she's scared that it's going to get taken away. Well, you know, Romney, you know, this Ryan plan to save Medicare is not, anybody that's 55 years or older is not affected by the plan. And, you know, that would include me. I'm 57 now. So if I wanted to stay on the regular Medicare plan, I can, you know, and, at whatever point that the Ryan plan would kick in. And then I would have the option of going to the other system if I wanted. But if nothing is done, if we continue down this path, you know, this path towards dysfunction, this path towards fewer and fewer people producing anything, and, you know, the people that are just sitting around on their thumbs, waiting for someone to put, like the bird, the proverbial baby bird in the nest with its beak sticking straight up in the air, waiting for mama to come along and put a worm in it. At some point, there aren't, nobody's going to put the worms in their mouths anymore. We've got, in order to save the system, we've got to make some cuts. And, you know, and it's not, you know, the old people are afraid, well, or some old people are afraid, well, it's going to be me that gets cut. No, it's exactly the opposite. If, you know, you get into the socialist thing, to the real socialist thing, then who are they going to cut? They're going to cut the old people. You know, those people, oh, they don't like them anyway. They hate their parents. They hate hate anything that's old. You get past a certain age and you sort of don't, you're not as valid as you were when you were younger. You know, they treat, you know, a lot of times if you listen to things, they'll say, well, 55 or older, or, you know, whatever age or older, or elderly, or so-called senior citizen. It's like, well, you know, they treat being old as if it's something that you, you know, some problem that you have. You know, it's a problem that you're older, you know, that it's some problem that you, if you would have done something different, you wouldn't be old now. You know, and of course, you're going to get old anyway, or, you know, the only alternative is you're going to die young. But there is a definite, when you get past a certain age, people do tend to look at you differently. And we're all kind of guilty of it. You know, and I don't know what this fascination with youth is, but the... you know, I don't know. It's an interesting question. What is the fascination with youth? Other than that's what the media kind of pushes. You know, the media has sort of pushed that, especially television, has really sort of pushed the idea that, you know, of the so-called youth culture, and they show all the young, beautiful bodies and. Of course, in the magazines, they doctor the pictures so that people are, you know, they create people that really aren't, you know, a complete unreality to sort of idealize everything, idealize the pictures. And, but there is this fascination with youth. And, but in any case, we have to, people with values have to stand up and be counted, and if we don't, and, you know, voting for a third party, you're not standing up, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. You know, and you're free to do whatever you want. You can, you know, write in Joe Blow or whatever, have at it, but if and when society really does go over the edge, then... you know, you can remember that I said I told you so. But it's more than just the person that we vote for. We got to vote for the right people, put the right people, you know, and I think Romney's not perfect. Ryan's not perfect. But I think Romney has demonstrated that he can be pushed. And, you know, that's what's happening now with the Republican Party. They have been kind of pushing, you know, the Tea Party people have been really pushing the Republican Party to adopt the platforms and so on and so forth. And they've kind of, the Tea Party types have kind of taken over the party, fortunately. And so I think, and Romney picking Paul Ryan as the VP, the vice presidential nominee. And then that, with a speech that he gave the other night, I think it's demonstrated that he can be pushed to the right. And but the real thing is the Tea Party. The real thing is enough people standing up, you know, and dominating with our values. We have to dominate with our values. And if we don't, then it doesn't matter who we elect, we're going down the drain. The real problem is us. You know, you go back in the Bible stories, you know, and the children of Israel and what have you. The real problem, it wasn't the leaders that were really at fault. It was the children of Israel themselves. It was the greater society, the Israelites. You know, they for a while they'd do good, and then periodically they would, you know, they'd start worshiping graven images and making false idols and so on and so forth. And, you know, of course people want to take that literally and say, well, I don't have any statues that I'm worshiping or whatever. Well, it doesn't have to be that. It's food. It can be anything. You know, you can be worshiping at the altar of food every time, all the time. And there's plenty of people that do it. Worship at the altar of food. Worship at the altar of the, you know, the one-eyed cyclops, the television. People sit and just watch that thing for hours, and it doesn't even matter what's on. They're just mindlessly sitting there as they nibble away, and they dribble their lives away. Kind of in a mindless state, pleasuring themselves to death. People will worship money. Well, you don't even have to be rich in order to worship money. It doesn't, the amount of money you have is irrelevant. There's this idea that, poor people can't worship money. They're probably the worst at worshiping money. And the things that money can buy. So we're, as I say, anything can be turned into a false god. And that's basically what's gone wrong with the country. There have been too many people that have created false gods, and it was easy to kind of just go along with it and not, kind of get stuck in a comfort zone, be comfortable with this and comfortable with that. And, you get tired of this and you shift to something else and you shift to, one thing to the next. And, and they'll shift away. Once they see the demon behind something, then they shift to something else, distract themselves. So we've had plenty of false idols that we worship. We've been really good at that. So we've got to get back to values. We've got to get back to basic values, core values, stand up, and that has to dominate the culture. It really has to. So anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. As I say, I'm supposed to go to work, back to work tomorrow. Tomorrow being, as I record this, tomorrow will be Sunday. I'm supposed to be going back to work. Of course, this is a holiday weekend. So we'll see. I'm sure they'll probably come up with something. There's an outside chance that they won't. They might not come up with something till Monday. But, whether they do or they don't, I'm ready. I'll be ready to go back to work. So anyhow, hope everyone had a great week. Hope you have a great week, or you're having a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.